asked Troy to play a patriotic song, and Miss Reed, of course, accompanied him with this beautiful piano playing, and then to play another song. So they chose those two songs, and we are so thankful. That was our grandson, Troy Waldrop, and quite proud of him. I'm proud of him. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes. We may not get exactly all we plan to do this morning, but we'll give it a good try, and if not, we'll finish it tonight, Lord willing. By the way, all the visitors this morning, we are so thankful you're here with us to make yourself at home in their Father's house. We celebrate salvation. The old rugged cross still leads home. The landmark will never change. We sing a beautiful song, Amazing Grace. By the grace of God, we are what we are, and He saved us, secured us, soon coming for us. We appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be here. And all the visitors, we welcome you. And as you leave this morning, the ushers will be back there with the offering plates. And if you'll look ahead of you, get the visitor's card, fill that, put it in the offering plate. We appreciate that so much. The Lord has given us a great nation, and we're blessed. We'll spend just a few minutes talking about that. The song that we heard Troy and Miss Rita play, God Bless America. And we know it was written back in 1938, but actually it was written in 1918, Irving Berlin. He had written that song. He was a Jewish born, but he was born in Russia. Came here to America when he was 5 years old. And then he was drafted into the U.S. Army when he was in 1938. So he penned that song, and he had another addendum to it, which we'll read a little bit later on. Then in 1938, as Hitler was giving the Jews a lot of hard times and starting to be aggressive and already had occupied Austria, then he pulled that out. If he had put in a suitcase or wherever he had put it and gave it, and they sang, of course, that's been sung throughout the years to celebrate God Bless America. We appreciate the goodness of God. And let me read that first addendum that he wrote that was not penned in the 1938 version. Listen to this. While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. And of course, that wasn't part of the song originally, but it wasn't the sung as we heard those two verses. And let me just read one of those. God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. This brother Randy talked about, we do have a lot of trouble in America. This week, Sandra and I celebrated our 60th wedding anniversary. And just as we got to our destination, get away for a week, went out to eat in the restaurant, and my right eye started having spider webs, cobwebs, if you will, all through my eye. Of course, that was pretty alarming. They didn't go away, and by the way, they still haven't gone away. I'm looking at you this morning through cobwebs, spider webs. And they're moving around all the time. So we cut our vacation short and came back home, went to the eye doctor. He said that's pretty common to a lot of us. And may go away. Hopefully it will. But I'm thankful God gave it to me. You're thankful God gave you that spider web that you have to look at? Absolutely. That's been all week long, looking through a spider web. And that's not been a chore because my vision around those webs is still 25, which is really better than it was last time I went. I used to, it was about 30 in that eye. But God has showed me so much. because he is going to show you something that he showed me all week long. Because the devil would like for us not to celebrate and give allegiance to the flag or to America. That would be a strategy. You see, God gave us this great nation. And as we heard in the prayer, we're not what we used to be, not what we could be, and not what we shall be. But see, God has allowed us this space of time. So as we look this morning, we're going to look through all the things of darkness, and right up above it looked like an eyebrow up there, but I can see perfectly all around it. And it's there. And today we look at the greatness of America. And we're looking at the greatness, but at the same time, in the background, maybe in the foreground, we see all the hurt, all the murder, and all the on. And we're not going to dwell on that. Because Satan would like for us, and the certain group of people today in America, a good portion of them, by the way, is trying to degrade America, trying to get us away from the founding fathers, trying to get us not to pledge allegiance. In fact, they burn the flag, and they kneel, they won't give allegiance to it. But we're going to look at that this morning and see what God says about America. We're going to look just briefly at how God started out the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God spoke. And when God spoke, it was done. Elohim in the Hebrew, the one that can form, that doesn't have a means. He just speaks it into existence. And then, of course, Adam and Eve sinned. They transgressed. They fell. And then they had two sons, Cain, and we preached about that recently. Cain slew Abel. But God is the one that avenges. Cain was so wrought when God had kicked him out of the garden and put the curse up. God avenges death. God avenges those that kill. Let God do it. So we're going to look this morning at the greatness of America. God sent our forefathers over here many, many years ago when they were not able to worship the Lord their God, and this has been a place that has sent the gospel out all through the world. So we have a lot of greatness as we look through those dark areas. We're not going to concentrate on them. Why? Because God avenges all the evil. And remember when Cain killed Abel, God avenged that. And Cain said, "It's more than I can bear. They will surely kill me." God says, "No, he that would avenge and try to do my business, I would avenge him seven times." So we're going to let God take care of all that, because if we don't, we're going to miss the opportunity of celebrating and rejoicing at what we have. Remember, I've told you 1,000 times since I've been here that my grandfather on my mother's side taught us, let us be thankful that things are as well with us as they are. Oh, they could be a better, but they surely could be a whole lot worse. So let's celebrate and thank God for things that is well with us as they are. And then death. Remember later on, the Pharaoh had all the boy children of the Israelites killed and put to death. But God avenged that too, because all Pharaoh's army and all the mighty chariots, he allowed them and he drowned them in the Red Sea. God is avenger. Then later on, remember, children of Israel went through a lot of hurt, and a lot of the nations have been against Israel all the way. Because why are the nations against Israel even today? One reason, because God's for them. Let God do the avenging on that. You and I can't do anything about that. So we're going to look at the improve the things we can do, but all the other things we can't do, God is the avenger. Then right before Jesus was born, remember, Herod had heard about that, and he had all the boy children, 2 years and younger, killed. Well, God avenged that through the old rugged cross where Jesus died to pay the sins, to get for us so we could have forgiveness. Let God be the avengers. But let's go back briefly before we get into the message, and let's look at the day of our deliverance, because our forefathers back in 17 and 76 were having a lot more problems than we have today, if you can believe that. So on July the 2nd, 1776, the Second Continental Congress met in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania House, or we call it the Liberty House or the Independence Hall today. And there they formed, and on July the 4th they signed the Declaration of Independence. Let's read that. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, which would be the Lord God, the Creator, not evolution, with certain unalienable rights. Listen at these. That among these are life, and those that don't respect life, let God be the avenger of it, and He will. Second of all, liberty. They said that we should have liberty. God gave us liberty. And He gave us liberty, and He set the captives free. We were captive in sin. So American forefathers recognized that, and they said that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, the next year, they met again in that same place, in Independence Hall. And by the way, a few years ago, the Lord put this on my heart, probably about 20 years ago, and had me spend the whole day in Philadelphia going through the Independence Hall. You still go through it, looking at all the documents and the original Liberty Bell out there, and just praying and thanking God for our nation. It's a wonderful day, just the peace. You can still go there, but with all the riffraff and all the danger that's happening in Philadelphia and everywhere else, I don't know if I'd advise or not. But back when I went, it was so peaceful there. And just the Lord met with me there, as I said, and seen our forefathers, the history of it, how they had been in prayer and they dedicated. Listen to what they came up with in 1787. 55 delegates to the Constitutional Convention in the summer of 1787. This is a preamble to our Constitution. We don't hear a lot about it anymore, but we need to refresh our minds on it. We the people, that's you, that's me, of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and their posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Then later on, the Bill of Rights and the constitutional amendments. We don't have time to go through that. But let's get into the message. And let us look today through the cobwebs, if you will, through the vision that we have, and let the dark ground. You know, it's been almost a week. It's Saturday, a week ago, when that came. And it's just as bad as it was. But I have learned that I don't even recognize it. It doesn't bother me. It's there. If I concentrate on those cobwebs, that's about all I see. But somehow the mind has the ability just to put in the background. And if I don't think about it, I don't even see them. But if I think about it, they're there. That's the way it is. And their life today in spiritual matters. We can think about what we want to. We can place our mind on the good things of America. And as a songwriter, and as we heard so beautifully played, God bless America. And we can dismiss all the other. It's still there. You don't dismiss it, and you wish it wasn't there. But the only thing you can do about it is pray about it. And I'm telling you that if you do more than pray about it and you try to let it linger in your mind, it will cause you what they want you to do is take your mind off of the goodness of God, the grace of God that has allowed us to be here in this great land, and pretty soon you'll join that crowd of saying, oh, look at America, how bad it is. No, I can dismiss all that. God gave me the ability to pray about it, know that He can bless America if we, His people, that are called by His name, will humble ourselves and pray. That's my job. I don't need to go farther than that because God will be the avenger. Let's look at the text together. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath murdered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They have cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. There's that web again. This is how God used that. And God says, go look at where I talked about the spider's web. And this is the way he birthed the message into my heart. I wouldn't take anything for it. I've learned so much. Because did God order, did God give you that vision? Oh, God, all things, God, all things work together for good of those that love the Lord. And so now we're reading about, it sounds like America in the year 2022. Talking about Israel, of course, but it relates to us also. So let's keep reading in that verse. They hatch cockroach eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a vapor. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are full of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. I want to deal with one, just one verse there, and that would be verse 5. We're talking about God doing the vengeance. And this will settle in their mind that we don't have to worry about those gray areas. We can look past those and leave that up to God. God told Cain real well. He was so worried that when I leave and go to the land of Nod, they will kill me. And God says, no, I am the avenger. So all the killing, all the hatred, and all the murder out there, pray about it. Trust God to help. If you're not very careful, you'll dwell on that rather than the riches. So let's look at this verse, how God is the avenger and how God is dealing and will deal with all the things. First of all, let's look at verse 5. They hatch cockatrice eggs. Of course, that would be a poisonous snake. And the snakes, remember, lay eggs and that produces their young. So first of all, he will execute and he will arrange to take care of all of it. They are the ones, all those poisonous things that happen, and all the people that perpetrate that, they execute and they plan all their evil devices. That's what's happening in America. They arrange it. They have plans for it. And if you're not careful, you'll look at that so much, you'll lose the victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he's letting us know, I'll take care of it. They deliberately, the scripture says, they deliberately plan and plot the destruction of America. Why would they do that? Jesus told us why. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You can't get into the mind and hearts of these people. I was on a plane one time going to Mexico to do some work down there for a company. And I was sitting beside someone on the plane, and the whole trip down there, God let me get into their mind. They didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in anything. And God just allowed me by our conversation for about 2 hours just to kind of get into their mind and see what makes them tick. And what makes them tick is, you know, they say that there should be a separation, and evolutionists say they're looking for the missing link. I know what the missing link is. Their soul is not linked up to higher power through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what makes them tick. So Jesus says, and the Word of God says, he'll take care of that. They execute their plan. Pray for them. Don't let it go past that. Look at the next part of that. They weave the spider's web. They entrap. And they surround and they try to gather you. And if you watch very carefully, they will cause you to think even like they do. Many people say that America's not worth praying for. America's gone. No, no, no. They're just trying to put a spider web at you and trap you and entangle you in that. But we're not going to let that happen. God will take care of that. We'll see very carefully how he's going to take care of that. Look at the third part of that verse. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. That means he that partakes of it. They have a plan. They execute that plan. They try to entrap. They try to entangle. And if you allow it, if you partake of it, it causes death. Even someone that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't let your mind dwell on all that thing. You let God deal with it. You pray, pray, pray. Trust, trust, trust. But you can go farther than that. And you can look. From the time I mentioned, I hadn't even thought about those lines. You can do it, folks. You don't have to be entangled in their spider webs. You don't have to go along with their plans to try to think America's not worth fighting for. Think of their soldiers back in World One, World War Two, and all along the journey have been willing to leave home. Why would they leave home and go to a foreign country and fight? With a good probability, they may not come back home alive. Why would they do that? Because America was worth fighting for. And it still is. And let God be the avenger. We fight for right. But I'm telling you, you can go so far that it's on your mind and it entangles you. It will entrap you. And then it will cause death. But look at the fourth part of that. And that which is crushed breaketh out in the vapor. We see how they execute their plan, how they entrap and how they entangle. Then we saw the end of it. The end of it is death. And now everything that they reproduce is evil. Those that take those spider webs or those that take the eggs or the work or the plans, the precepts, of those people that plan and execute evil to try to entrap us, it'll be crushed. Because everything they produce is evil. In hurrying, let's turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 34. We're looking at the thought that we can rejoice and we can look to him and give thanks for the nation. We can pledge allegiance to the God of our fathers. We pledge allegiance to America. We never, ever put America on a level with God. God's here and he has given us America. We celebrate that. We don't pledge allegiance to America and put it higher than God. No, he gave us America. We celebrate that. But look what he's going to do. Verse 34, chapter 8, the book of Proverbs. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. That's our job. Blessed is the man that has his attention on him, not all those vipers and all those things that will destroy, not those people that tries to entangle us and then trap us into thinking that America is not worth fighting for. Because if you do that, pretty soon you're going to fall right into the trap that they're trying to entangle. You can look through it. You can almost, it's not even there. And I'm not saying dismiss it. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying you and I as individuals need to keep our mind on celebrating the good things of God and lifting up the name of Jesus to a lost and dying world and praying for those that would persecute us and do us evil. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation. But other than that, don't let your mind be entangled in and trapped in it. Our job is to hear him, watch at his gate, wait at the post of his doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life. Remember, our Constitution and the preamble of the Constitution talk about life, liberty, pursuit. God gives life. He gives life. And people that don't respect life and people that want to destroy life, God will do the avenging. We don't have to do that. Look carefully at verse 36. I've never seen this before. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. How would you sin against God? Remember the first verse we read? In the beginning, God created man. So all the evolutionists and all those that would try to say that we just evolved. If we evolved, we didn't need a Savior. And that's what the whole purpose and plan is. Try to entrap generation of young people to say that if we evolved, then we didn't fall in the garden. We don't need a Redeemer Savior. We're going to make it on our own. That's an entrapment of the devil, because God gives life, all life. And he does not honor that is wrong against his own soul, hurting his own self. Look carefully. All they that hate me love death. I'd read over that, no telling how many times. But through the spider web experience, God allowed me to see that. All those that hate me love death. Now, if you're a child of God, you got your mind on him. You can't visualize that. But God said it, so it's true. People that hate God love death. Just stop and think about it. Now, only God knows who hates him, but by their fruit we'll know them. The preceding verse says, or that verse says, he that sinneth against me. If you sin against God, it's standing up for something against what God believes. And God says, I give life. I give life freely, all life. The prophet said, you knew me before I was even in my mother's womb. So God gives life. God gives life even in the womb. God gives life. And we hear a lot about that. And if you're not careful, you'll let your mind be so entrapped that you will forget to worship and honor the God of our fathers. So let's deal with how God looks at this. All they that hate me love death. God doing the speaking. And you and I that saved can't visualize why anyone would love death. I can't visualize why they're so heated up over killing babies. But God gave us the answer. He that hates me loves death. So those people that are trying to kill, implication would be you couldn't love death. I mean, if I see a little puppy or a little dog or anything out dying, it just breaks my heart, much less a baby. We can't visualize that. So since we can't visualize it, don't let your mind go to a will. You just kind of look through the webs, if you will, and look to see God is the avenger. We pray, we seek his face, we trust him, we pray for those that love death. And because God would give them life. We were all dead in trespasses and sin, but I didn't love that. When the Holy Ghost came and whispered to me as a 12-year-old boy and says, you're dead in trespasses and sin, but I want to quicken you. I want to illuminate your mind and show you that Christ Jesus gave his life so you wouldn't have to stay in this dead, dormant position. I gladly jumped out of my seat, ran to the altar, and the Lord showed me how to believe in my heart, and he saved me. Mom and Dad couldn't show me how to believe in my heart. The preacher couldn't. No one else can, but that's the Holy Ghost job. We need to understand that God will do his job perfectly. God will avenge all those people that hate him. He always has. He avenged, remember, Cain. He avenged the children of Israel when their babies were being born. He avenged and he took action, and Christ Jesus gave his life. He resurrected. So today we can look and we can pledge allegiance to the God of our fathers and to the United States of America that he gave us, and we pray for it, and we pray for those that love death rather than life. God takes care of all that thing. You and I can't do a thing about it, but pray, pray, pray. And God will help us to enjoy and to celebrate even today and tomorrow that he has given us liberty and he has set captives free. But most of all, we celebrate life that he gave us eternal life. And our job is to go tell the world unashamedly that Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Yes, I'm proud to be an American. It's not perfect, but I can look through. God has allowed me all week long and probably months and months, maybe forever, I don't know. But as long as my vision is 25 and better, which the doctor said it probably would be, I can deal with these dark spots. I can deal with the dark spots of life in America and let God handle it. There's a big difference because you can't handle and do what God can do. It'll just worry you to death. It'll entrap you. It'll destroy you. It will ruin you. It'll even cause you to start partaking of evil ways. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. Would you come please, Brother Randy, and sing a song, whatever God puts on your heart. When God allows something to happen physically or any otherwise in your life, don't get down and out about it. Just say, God, you allowed this to happen to me. Why? I know why. So I can see what I've never seen before, that I can look through the dark places and it won't hinder me whatsoever spiritually from celebrating the goodness of God. I don't have to be entrapped. I don't have to be entangled in all the world's devices. God will handle it. He always has. He always will. But the question remaineth to every one of us today. Is that light of Jesus Christ shining in your heart, in your heart? Have you received Him as your Lord and Savior? See, the world would try to entrap you and keep you from doing that. And only the Holy Ghost, conviction, can remove those dark spots and let you see Christ Jesus and let you see eternal life. He can do that. I can. Altar's open. If you're not saved this morning, would you come? You may know someone that's in their sins, that's not saved, and no hope of salvation. And it's a burden to you. It should be. Just come pray for them. And ask God to help you. And may not to dwell on all the things you can't do anything about. It'll ruin your victory. Victory in Jesus. And you can't look through the dark areas all around you. Because one other thing. You know this abortion issue? You know how long it's happened? Where the seven justices out of the nine, 49 years ago, said that the woman has a right to abort or kill a baby in their womb. 49 years later, seven times seven sabbaths, six Supreme Court justices said that's nowhere in the Constitution that gives a woman, because the Constitution says all people can have life, 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 life. But you know what happens? The year of the Jubilee is 50. And could, I know this Old Testament, but you see, the year of the Jubilee, following the 79 years, all things was restored. And could it be that the Lord is so close to coming? This didn't happen just by coincidence, that 49 years before they overturned that. What follows 49? The year of the Jubilee. Restoring salvation to a lost and dying world. Maybe even restoring and calling us home. Oh, we're getting close, folks. Nothing happens by happenstance. Let God be true. Let Him deal with all the things you can't deal with. Don't let it entrap you and hinder you from seeing the victory. 49. But the next year is now. We're going to be in that 50th year. I know that's Old Testament theology. That's fine. I'm not saying this. I'm just, what a coincidence, if it is a coincidence. The Jubilee. Amen. The altar's open.